Hello, hola, bonjour, and hello to all of the creatives all over the Caribbean and beyond, and welcome to Caribbean Creatives, a space for the creatively disruptive, a space for persons like me and you, yes you, who wish to harness your skills as a creative, share your experiences, take up space, and navigate the changing landscape of our industry today. But remember, it's not about the land that divides us, but it's about the stories that connect us. So hi guys, welcome to Caribbean Creatives, the podcast, a space for the creatively disruptive. And in this episode, we're going to be talking to Women in Tech about Women in Tech. In this episode, I have my friends Jaleen and Casely, who will be discussing their experience about the field as young professionals, any challenges they face, and also how important it is for technology to be integrated into the Caribbean experience. So in starting, I'd like Jaleen to give a brief introduction of herself and why she was motivated to start in tech.
Hi, so happy to be here. So thanks for that introduction. I'm Jaleen. So I'm a final year student at UTech, pursuing a BSc in computing. I've always been a techie. I grew up in a house where my dad was all about his gadgets and all about me just learning the very basic digital skills. And so I think that was a catalyst for me just being so curious about the digital world. And I just followed my heart and straight through high school and right to university. I always knew that I would be doing something in the tech space. So I'm an explorer at heart as well, so I love to travel, and I'm really blessed to have been able to merge those worlds over the past 4 years of my bachelor's degree. So I enjoy, you know, giving talks on the importance of diversity in tech. That's a topic that I'm really passionate about, and especially now with, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, and we're talking about Black people just taking up the spaces that we deserve to be a part of, and, you know, without resistance. I love that topic, love talking about it. Done some work with the UN in terms of just ICT for development and the role that ICT plays in the development of developing regions like the Caribbean, like Jamaica. And yeah, I'm also really passionate about women in the space. Being at UTech for the past 4 years, I'm used to being in a class, and you know, the ratio of males to females is probably about 10 to 1 sometimes, sometimes more than 10 to 1, 15 to 1. But I did go to an all-girls school, like all of us here, which is amazing. Yeah. So I think that we were very used to just being around powerful, talented women. So I didn't really feel intimidated being in that space. I think I kind of just blended in. But I know that the experience for a lot of other women, you know, that's not the case. And so just being able to kind of be a model and to just advocate for our voices to be heard in these creative and technical spaces, that's really important to me. So yeah, and I'm sure I'll share more as we go along in the podcast. Yeah,
definitely. That's such an inspiring story to know that for you, tech was always integrated. So it's something that came naturally for you because it's been a part of you. So in your case, Casely, I'd like you to give a little bit of your tech history, your tech story, and why you got started.
So in terms of my tech history, in high school, I did not want to do anything related to technology. I pursued my degree in physics, and I actually really started out not wanting to do physics either. I wanted to do something artistic. I wanted to either be an artist or a singer, a dancer, something in the artistic field, the creative field. And as I continued throughout high school, I started to gain my love for physics through my physics teacher, Mr. Pitt. And it was through that love of physics that I found my love for technology, because joining the physics department, I actually ended up doing some projects that allowed me to interact with technology, code more, and actually find the fun in little things. For example, I did a project with Dr. Harris, and we did a project on virtual reality in education, and at first that idea was nowhere in my mind, but it was because we're entering a conference, a paper conference, and the idea just came to me with my counterpart, Brandon Campbell, and we just developed the idea and put it together. I also joined the robotics team. Never in my life would I have thought that I would be joining anything electronics or robotics related, but as I stepped into university, I just thought, yo, just try something, just try anything and everything, and you may never know where those roots will lead you.
True.
So I ended up on the robotics team, and we placed third, and that was a wonderful, rewarding feeling, because that opened so many doors for me that I never thought were possible. And through those experiences, I ended up working for the Met Service to start a project for some of the data that they have, but I can't go into much detail about that. But it's just wonderful, even my master's, because I graduated with a physics. I decided to couple my love for technology with renewable energy, and my master's is in wind power forecasting, which is a form of using machine learning to predict how wind power will happen for a wind farm over a certain period of time. So it's just been really fun, really cool, and I love the directions where it has taken me. It's even inspired me to create my own business. So it's been great. It's been wonderful.
That's awesome. Well, before I get even any further into the podcast, I just want to stunt on my friends a little bit, because back in 2018, something major kind of happened, and while I was on my exchange in Panama, I just happened to, you know, buck up on these two people, because they were like, oh, you know, we're going to China, we have something major planned, we're going to Huawei. Can you let the people know exactly what happened in 2018? Just stunt on yourselves just a little bit, let them know.
Casey, do you want to take this one?
Okay, well, with the Huawei situation that Sarah's talking about, what happened is that we got to China, and I thought it was pretty cool because they were doing things in ICT. They were doing so many different things that I never really thought were possible at the time until I did robotics. And I applied, not sure if I was going to get in, but I met Janine on this wonderful program where we ended up traveling halfway across the world to just learn about Chinese culture and learn about the ICT industry. And it was a very wonderful experience.
Yeah, I think that was just a life-changing experience. It was everything I imagined it would be, plus more. So Huawei has this amazing program called Seeds for the Future, and annually they invite university students, some top-performing university students in the tech space, to visit China, learn about the Chinese culture, the business sphere, and then also spend a week just at their headquarters, looking at their new research, looking at, you know, the different areas that Huawei wants to branch out into. And I think one of the things that fascinated me about that experience was just their approach to smart cities and smart spaces, and how the technologies that they developed were all essentially created with the aim to facilitate and to just be a catalyst for the development of our everyday lives and of everyday cities from, you know, one point to another. And the city that we were in, it was just such an inspiring place, Shenzhen, China. They call it the hardware Silicon Valley of the world. And around, you know, like 25 years ago, they were just a fishing village, which was crazy to me because it's one of the most advanced developed cities that I have ever been to. And so just that success story, especially as a Jamaican, looking around and seeing the state that we are in currently and just the areas for advancement, to know that a city was able to do that in such a short space of time, it gives us hope for what we can achieve as a nation if, you know, we're strategic about advancing and just making lives easier and more efficient and just better for everyone through technology.
True. Well, since you mentioned the group dynamic, in going on the trip, how many girls were on the trip and how many guys were on the trip? Just to reiterate something.
The trip? The rest were guys. It was how many of us? 10 of us?
10.
Right, yeah, so seven guys.
I see you were the only female from UWE as well, so yeah.
Yeah.
So with that ratio.
Interesting experience.
How did it make you feel to know that? Although very small in number, very strong in ability and in inspiration and motivation, how did you guys feel being those three women, being along with those men in tech? Because, you know, tech is a male-dominated field. How did you guys feel to be represented in that space?
I didn't feel like I didn't belong, for sure. That wasn't a feeling. Yeah. I mean, I was comforted in the fact that, you know, they selected the three of us as women, and so they saw something in us and they believed that we were supposed to be there. And so I think all of us, we just went and, you know, we were determined to just make the best of the experience, learn as much as we can and enrich ourselves as much as possible. And I think the males that were on the trip with us as well, they were all quite supportive. So, you know, they were definitely our allies. There were, you know, no polarizing moments or anything like that. So yeah, that was my experience and my thoughts toward it. What about you, Kiss?
Right, I can agree with you that the males that we were on the trip, it's not a case that we experienced any kind of animosity from them. They were very open, very fun, and we were just really close in it as a family. I didn't feel like, okay, I am a woman going over to China with so many different men, and I felt that didn't really feel out of place. As I said, we felt like a family and we're very close.
Since you guys went to China and had that lovely experience, that first world experience of being in the, like you said, was it the Silicon Valley of the West, of the East? Valley of the East. What did you see in China, or what other experiences have you had that you believe that in an ideal world we could implement here in Jamaica? What would it be?
So something I share a lot on based on my experience in China was just how they operated in their marketplaces and how deeply woven digital payments were in their society. So from the fruit vendors to the hardware sellers, you know, markets that seem very similar to our even Coronation Market, mm-hmm. The vendors, they had their QR codes up and everyone was just using their phone and purchasing their produce, purchasing their goods. And that just made me think, wow, you know, that's something that can definitely be implemented here. And I'm hearing a lot in our space recently about just, you know, being more open in terms of mobile payments, mm-hmm. and digital payments.
It started last weekend
at
a market, actually.
Transforming that space. I know that recently there's been a sandbox of sorts for financial institutions to kind of play around with and have some freedom in terms of innovating in that space. So I'm looking forward to the solutions that come from that. But I think seeing how, you know, persons in China from all walks of life, from every single class, you know, they just adopted it so readily. I think that definitely kind of took out the myth that it's something about our class or our socioeconomic status that, you know, would make us more open to adopting and using and implementing those technologies, because they definitely proved that that wasn't the case.
It's reality is like China's own, you know, you admire and you look at it and you're like, wow, is that really a thing that can happen in Jamaica, especially when it seems like access to internet is not something that we have even mastered as yet. Is the ability to have access to the internet and other forms of technology something that we can do in Jamaica? Do you think it's a reality, and or how real of a reality do you think it can become?
I do believe that is most definitely a reality, but it's really all about initiative. Because in working with the robotics team, we are a team from Jamaica that took no resources compared to the teams that we competed against. We competed against, I think it was about 70 different schools, and we picked third. A little robotics team from Jamaica, a little country, that, yeah, we could place third with the little resources that we had. It's just all about our creativity and all about that that we need to take when we are building our society.
Yeah, great point, Casey. And you're absolutely right. Similarly in 2018, a moment that I hold very dearly, I had a team of three other university students, and we took ourselves off and said, we're going to enter this international hackathon in Switzerland. And when we went, we were just thinking about reaping the most from the experience. And it was about 30 other nationalities and professors that we were competing against. And to this day, like, I am just in awe that we were able to top that entire hackathon. But there are definitely two dimensions to look at it from, because I think digital policy is a huge issue in Jamaica. And we also have certain social realities that we have to think about. So I love that you mentioned creativity as well, Casey, because that's really what it takes, an innovative mind, finding and looking at solutions where everything else or everyone else may not be, in a solutions-oriented mindset. But as you said, a lot of Jamaicans are unbanked currently. So, for example, with the scenario of digital payments and just mobile and digital transformation in the financial field, we have to take that into account. The fact that a large percentage of Jamaicans don't even have a bank account and, are just not anywhere on the local database in terms of their financial history and practices. And so data is another huge issue in Jamaica, accessible data that is open. So even for the innovators like, Casey and myself, we can only do so much and know more if we don't have access to the very information that would form the framework and the backbone of these systems that we're trying to build to do and be greater as a nation. So I think a space within the digital realm in Jamaica that we definitely need a lot of innovators, because it's all great to have the coders and so forth and the persons who are technical, but things like digital policy and IP law and just digital law and law relating to that, we definitely need some change makers in that space, some change makers who understand the nitty-gritty of the Jamaican society, who understand that, for example, yes, we're a developing nation, and as you said, so many university students don't even have access to the internet right now. So we need, strategies to ensure that we do have that internet penetration on the island. And even in Kingston, I always think about how privileged I am, even though there's, so much more for me to have. When you think about a lot of our rural areas, a lot of our rural students, even from the high school level, and going to traditional high schools in Kingston, we kind of take for granted even the access to a lab, a computer lab,
Wi-Fi,
to be able to do research. Some of those things are like fairy tales, like dreams that, are unimaginable for so many of our students across the island. So we really need to work on leveling the playing field of sorts, because it's definitely not equal across the board. And as citizens, as young people, we definitely don't have access to all the same resources that another Jamaican student or another future innovator has access to. But I definitely think that we should all be empowered to make the most of the tools that we do have readily available to us, and balance that with working to ensure that, as I said, you know, the playing field is being leveled somehow.
Since you mentioned digital policy, I'd like to know if, let's just say you get elected minister of some ministry in government, what would be the first thing that you would change in terms of digital policy? Because I want you to break it down. I don't want to assume everybody knows what we're talking about when you say digital policy,
right,
and IP. So break it down for non-tech persons like myself.
So, for example, I'm sure most Jamaicans are familiar with the NIDS, the NIDS system that you know, we've been trying to implement. And for the non-Jamaicans listening, my Caribbean family out there, you know, that's basically just our centralized identification system that's supposed to make the transfer of data of citizens easy and just form the backbone of just a more seamless digital society. So around a year ago, you know, the plans for that kind of were put on stall. And a large part of that, I think, in my opinion, was because the technical and tech change makers weren't really working hand in hand with our legal system, mm-hmm. and with, you know, the persons who are influencing the bills and the potential act that will inform and just kind of set the scope of existence for such a system. And so I think there needs to be greater integration with our technical minds and with our lawmakers, with our policymakers and change makers in terms of the government and so forth. I think there's a bit of a disconnect there. And even just engaging youth, you know, sometimes we hear, well, I've, you know, had the privilege, or not really the privilege, but the opportunity to hear our the Most Honorable Minister, Favour Williams, speaking, and you know, I appreciate a lot of what she's doing, but sometimes I definitely wish that we could have, you know, some more town halls, even just so we can tap in to our students who are going to be, you know, the future of this industry, and actually have an outlet for our voices to be heard and for our suggestions to actually be considered, if not even implemented at the very least. So I think that just bridging that gap between the actual tech and creative professionals and the digital strategy of our country, you know, as a nation, because you have so many people, so many young professionals who are passionate about things like digital strategy, digital transformation. And I think just the same passion with which we apply those skills and talents to organizations and to businesses and entities that may employ us, I think there needs to be a space for that passion to be channeled to the state and channeled so that we can view Jamaica as, you know, a potential, what would I say? So we can view Jamaica as an entity in and of itself as well that is in deep need of digital transformation too, and we can be very strategic about it as we would our own business, as we would our own consultancies and everything. So just applying that same business product innovation mindset to our country, I think that that's very important, and just grouping all of our voices to make the most impact.
In terms of the what Jamie was speaking about in terms of our youth not necessarily being the forefront of those decisions in terms of our digital landscape, because we are the future, I believe that that is a wonderful suggestion, a wonderful idea for our youth to be involved in those decisions, involved in those kinds of discussions. Because many times, a lot of the things that are made, a lot of the choices that are not made with the future in mind, are not made with or youth in mind. So I believe that that would be one of the changes that should be implemented.
Okay, so we're moving on to the Q&A section of the podcast, which is called Dímelo, And Dímelo basically means Wagwan, but in Spanish. So I asked some questions to the listeners on what questions they like to find out from women in tech. So I have some here, and I hope you guys can help the listeners out. The first question is, how do I maintain or get a competitive edge as a person in tech? In the current landscape, what suggestion would you give to anybody studying tech at any level? What's the next thing? What do I do? What is the skill I should be acquiring right now?
In terms of somebody in tech, what I say is just start somewhere. I would say start with social media. A lot of the way that you can reach your audience is through social media. Start an Instagram page, start a YouTube account, start a podcast. A lot of those ways are there. And another thing is research. Always research, because things are always changing. In the school of a data scientist, the things that you learn maybe 5 years ago is most definitely not the same things that you would have learned now. So always research, always keep on your toes. Something doesn't work, try another way, because you're young, you can have a lot of time to get it right. One, research, try social media to start, and if it doesn't work, do something else. You have the time to do it.
I think I have two major pieces of advice. So the first one is definitely connect to people in the field. Go to tech meetups, look on meetup.com. I am so pleased with Jamaica's tech meetup landscape nowadays. You know, you have Google developer groups, you have Facebook developer circles with Kingston branches, you have organizations like Youth Can Do IT, Caribbean Girls Hack. Literally just get involved with one of them. The opportunities that you'll be exposed to, the minds that you'll be able to connect with, truly invaluable. And for me personally, on my tech journey, a major part of just the things that I've been able to expose myself to and to achieve is almost directly related to my circle and the people who, you know, have poured into me through mentorship or through friendship as well. I'm so inspired, for example, by the two of you too, just being able to have a circle that constantly feeds you with inspiration, and being in those spaces and making an intentional decision to do so can be really transformative for your career. And the second piece of advice is don't try to do it all. Within the tech space, don't feel pressured to be a jack of all trades. Don't feel pressured to know everything. It's a space that really rewards people who have a very specific niche. So even, you know, you love, let's say, data science, you can even go even further and try to specialize or to develop your interests within, like, how data science can be used in the music industry. Don't be afraid to get very, very niche, and to have that niche about you to sell, because then you become invaluable, and then you're like a diamond in the sea. And so, you know, the opportunities that you have will be ones that are like directly tailored for your skill sets, and people will seek you out directly because of that unique mix of talents that you have and the specific niche that you're a part of. So don't feel like you have to know how to do the marketing, you have to know how to do the engineering, you have to know how to do the database, and don't feel like you have to do every single thing. Just find a niche for yourself, explore it, and that will be fruitful for you as well.
I agree. Man, it's so good to talk to people who just get it. It's so refreshing. And the last question is, what do you guys predict to be the next wave in the tech industry here in the Caribbean?
Well, in terms of what I think would be the next wave, I would look at e-commerce. So you have a lot of online stores, a lot of stores incorporating those online videos in order to sell their products. You not only will have that, but you have a lot of platforms that will offer that payment service. So it's not just the platform to purchase goods or what goods are being people in that form, but you will have those platforms to be able to buy things online. You'll have those platforms to be able to transfer money, to do online banking, stuff like that. So I think that will be the next big one.
Truly inspired by Casey and her farmers market initiative, and I think that right now food security is such a huge global phenomenon, and just access to good food,
organic,
you know, food that's non-GMO, not tampered with, and just being able to be in control of the food that we eat. I think that that's a huge space and a huge area for opportunity right now. You know, COVID-19 really gave us a scare in terms of persons, you know, seeing the empty shelves on the supermarkets and wondering to themselves, wow, you know, if another crisis were to happen of the similar or even greater magnitude, how will my food supply be affected? So I think that innovation within our agricultural sphere and our food sphere is actually really important right now, especially in Jamaica. I've been, you know, trying to keep up with the news on our agro spaces, and people are realizing that while so many other Jamaican industries are quite volatile, you know, we saw the plunder that the tourism sector took, mm-hmm. and will possibly continue to take if it is that crises of a similar nature arise, but our agricultural industry and farming and food, that will never at any point be irrelevant. So we're seeing, you know, the Jamaican top shots, you know, the millionaires, the billionaires, even trying to penetrate that space, for example, the Michael Lee Chins and so forth, ensuring that, you know, they're having their land and they're going into agro processing and just farming in general. So I think that this is a great space for tech innovators to kind of analyze the landscape and look at how we can use technology to make these processes in terms of agro processing, food production more efficient, and also to analyze the potential for so many of our Jamaican staples to be exported, and for that to be another major export for Jamaica. Because yes, you know, we have been doing some exports, but I think that the level at which we're doing that can be even greater,
right?
Because Jamaicans know the quality of our grown provisions, our fruits, our produce is just, it's so good. The world needs to experience this, and everybody's, you know, thinking about that vegan train these days. Everybody's thinking about that organic train, and I think that we're really positioned right now as a country to capitalize on that global demand and that global interest. So yeah, I hope to see more innovators within that space.
Right. So adding to what Julian was saying, shameless plug, our company actually is a agrotech company. So we are doing exactly what you are proposing for innovators to do. We are using technology to penetrate the agriculture sector to make that production of produce a lot easier than it is right now. And just sourcing those goods also, in terms of, for example, with our farmers market that we have every Saturday at 9 Eastwood Avenue, again, shameless plug. right. Most people don't know that here in Jamaica, we grow strawberries locally, and we have those produce available. We grow blackberries locally. All of these things are here and available for use, but most people don't know that we do these things here in Jamaica. Did you even know that we had Jamaican peaches? So it's just a lot of those things that you have to kind of look at, and it's just those things that we want to do. An agricultural tech company, we're trying to put food on the plate to make sure everybody has food. So, right.
Amazing point. Not even a shameless plug, girl. It was absolutely necessary. Okay, well, guys, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast and just sharing your experiences. And if it's one thing Caribbean Creatives believes in, it's the power of integrating our stories, because we say it's not about the land that divides us, but it's about the stories that connect us. And who knows, maybe the next time we have a Woman in Tech series, it could be, I don't know, Trinidad, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Grenada, yeah. Somebody, some situation, or maybe, I don't know, a digital panel. You never know, when you get the call, you'll find out what's up. But thank you guys so much for being on the podcast and just being so candid about your experiences and giving suggestions to the listeners. So thank you guys.
Thank you so much for having us. It was a blast. Yeah, have us anytime. Ready to come back anytime.
Aww. Of course.
If you reach the end of the episode, thank you so much for listening, and you can follow us on Instagram at Caribbean_creatives and on Twitter at @CaribbeanCreate, and you can visit our website at caribbean-creatives.com to be a part of our creative community. See you guys next week. Nos vemos. Ciao.